Welcome to Martially Motivated. This is your host, Dan Burrell with Burrell Martial Arts. I had another podcast ready to go today with Brent Holland, and we had a great conversation, and right at the end of it, and my system crashed. I don't know if I lost the whole thing or not, but I hope not. I'm still trying to find a way to get it back and recover it, but I don't want to go away with nothing here, so I decided to throw another one together. I was going to do this one anyway. I'm going to be doing a handful of these just myself, talking about things like vehicle security, which is what I'm going to do today, and home security, personal security, prevention, awareness, just a lot of different things to keep in mind when about self-defense in general, things that we tend to forget. When we're learning physical self-defense, we don't always think about how to avoid the issue to begin with. I try and teach my students this every so often, and I teach a lot of self-defense classes where we focus on this. Unfortunately, it's not the most entertaining portion of class, so a lot of people just kind of glance over it and don't think about it much, and they want to get into punching and kicking things and choking people. That's fun and all, but we do have to think about the prevention mindset and the awareness mindset, because most altercations, I'm going to say 95%. I have no idea where I'm getting that number from, but I do think it is a very high number. Most altercations can be avoided if you just know what to look for, know how to avoid it, and in some cases, just simply step away from it. There's far too many times that we voluntarily get into an altercation. Those are the stupidest ones we can do. But there are some that we don't always see coming, but if you know what to look for, we can prevent it. And it's not just protecting ourselves, it's protecting our stuff. So today we're going to be talking about the vehicle. One thing I've had this come up quite a bit, both in my neighborhood as well as near my studio. I've had people discuss, and even on Facebook, people discuss that their car is broken into. A lot of times, it's a rash of cars that get hit. In my neighborhood recently, this has happened. There was quite a few cars that got hit, and to no surprise, mine was not one of them. I do have a vehicle that is parked outside on the street side, like everybody else's that got hit. But there are some key differences as to why mine did not get vandalized or taken anything from or broken into, so to speak. And that's kind of a key word there. So one thing, I'm going to go through kind of a checklist, but I'm going to tell you a couple stories, that story in particular, as well as another one that I think was very important to discuss. But I'm going to give you a checklist at some point. And I don't recall where I got this checklist, but I teach it in my self-defense programs. It's either from just my training, and I've developed this on my own, or most likely some of this has been taken from one of two things. A large part of what I teach comes from what I was taught from my instructor, who teaches a DTAC program, a defensive tactics program, and a pressure point control tactics program. He is law enforcement. He is certified to teach this stuff. And I've never gone through the program, but I've been around him enough, and he's taught a lot of this stuff to myself and the other students, in particular with our HUP Keto program, that just kind of sunk in over 20-some years of working with him. And so I have a feeling I know a lot about that program, even though I really don't know that program. So I have taken a lot from the things that he has told me, so I'm sure they're not directly coming from him, probably whoever developed that program. So thank you to whoever that is, as well as another book that I tend to reference a lot when I'm teaching self-defense or I'm doing some writing on awareness and prevention. The Gift of Fear. I highly recommend reading this book. There is a lot of great information in that book. And so there's a chance I took some stuff from that from here. I know I took something from here. I'm going to be going through over time my handbook that I teach, and I've taken bits and pieces from all my training and reading, and I've put it all together. And so that will be one of the checklists. And again, I don't really recall exactly where it all came from. I wish I had it listed exactly so I can give credit where credit is due. It did not just come straight from my mind. Maybe some of it did, but I have a feeling most of this came from somebody else. What I want to go into right away is the story of what happened around our neighborhood. We had a lot of vehicles get broken into, and we have a Facebook page, or group, I should say, that a lot of us in the neighborhood are on, and we'll mention things like this. They'll say when there's a crime committed in our neighborhood, or if, you know, sometimes we're selling stuff or throwing up garage sales, whatever it may be. We talk in there. And I do a lot of listening. I watch what others are saying, especially when it comes to crime, and see if I can piece some things together here. And one of the recent ones was a bunch of break-ins to vehicles. Now, I say break-ins, but none of them were. There was no breaking to get in. There's no windows broken. There's no locks picked that we know of. When I asked who all had their door locked, none of them said I did. They were all unlocked. And then one thing I mentioned, I didn't ask too much about this. I just kind of threw out a statement. I said, I'm guessing a lot of stuff that was stolen probably could have been seen through the window. And of course, the answer was yes. That is a problem. That happens a lot. A lot of this comes from teenagers and youth. And when they see something they want, if there's not a lot of obstacles in the way, they're going to take it. It's not hard to do. If you see a dollar bill on the side of the road, do you pick it up? Of course. It's not attached to anybody. There's not as straight of a line and a boundary as you might think when it comes to this. If a door is open and there's money sitting there, whose money is it? It's going to be the person that picks it up, unfortunately. All right. Most of us as adults know that that's wrong. We go close the door, or maybe we keep lookout to make sure that whoever kept the door open is going to go close it. If we know the person, we go talk to them quick. But it's basically free money sitting out there. It's not like a credit card, or you're stealing a checkbook or something, but even that happens. A lot of stuff gets stolen from cars that are just unlocked. And yes, it's not right. Nobody's stating that. It is wrong. You're stealing. But you're making it so damn easy. You can't do that. You have to lock these doors. And not only do you have to lock the doors, you have to make sure anything that's in there that is of value is either taken out or hidden. I'm not sure why anybody would have a whole lot of valuable stuff in their vehicle that is sitting on the side of the street, locked or not. I still don't quite understand that, but talking to some neighbors, I have found that a lot of them just had cash, change stolen out of their vehicle that was just sitting in the center console. That's fairly normal. Even I tend to have that, you know, quarter sitting in there, so when I go to park, I've got something available to throw money into. Beyond that, I don't know why you keep a purse or something extremely valuable just sitting in your car outside, and definitely not unlocked. So one big thing is to make sure you just always lock your doors. To me, if I'm stepping out of my vehicle, the second thing I do other than close the door is lock it. Sometimes I lock it before I can step out. So even if I'm just going into my house or my studio for a moment, I'm locking that door. You just never know what's going to happen. And so that brings me to a second story here. I used to have a studio next to a dance studio. And we got along quite well. I knew the owner pretty well. I trained a couple of her kids. And I tried to watch out for them if something was going wrong, and which a couple times it did. We weren't in the best neighborhood. So we did have some strange people that walked in or walked by that we tried to keep an eye on and kept communication between ourselves. Even though our studios had a wall between us, we had each other's numbers and we were quick to talk to each other if something was going wrong. And I was talking to her one day right after she had a lot of money and gift cards stolen from her truck. And she told me what happened, and it's an honest mistake. I think a lot of people would have made the same mistake, but you still have to be prepared for this. It could have been prevented. She was moving a lot of stuff from her truck to her studio, back and forth. So she decided, might as well keep the truck unlocked. No reason to keep unlocking it if I'm just going to keep running back and forth and unlocking it. And while she was doing that, she was in her studio dropping some of the stuff off, getting ready to head back out to the truck, and a parent came in. A potential new parent and new student came in, and he was talking to her with his, I believe, son, younger kid, maybe 6 or 7, asking about classes, dance classes. And they talked for about 45 minutes, going over options and what he might like and setting him up for a intro session, all this stuff. And once they finished, she went back out there to go keep getting stuff out of her car, which, by the way, she had her purse in there and money. And her two sons had just had a birthday recently, or Christmas, I can't remember which one it was. But they had a bunch of gift cards from, you know, family and friends that were in her purse. All of it was stolen, and it was hundreds of dollars. So she mentioned this to me, and she said she felt bad that she just didn't think anybody would do something like this. And the problem is, she actually found out who it was. The reason she found out was these people who stole it, or person who stole it, tried to use the gift card. It was at Toys R Us, which is no longer around now, but at the time it was. She got a phone call saying, "We have the person that stole this, we believe. And we don't know for sure, maybe it was sold to this person, we don't know, but somebody tried to use your gift card, because those things are tracked." And they showed the picture of three people that were trying to use this gift card. A lady that she had never known, never seen, and a father and son that she talked to that had walked into the building when she was moving stuff between the truck and her studio. It was the same two that were asking about classes. This was premeditated. They saw her going back and forth and got their son involved with stealing money and gift cards and essentially a purse from this truck. And so luckily it was the same people and they're taken care of now. She got her money back and all is good. But most people, vast majority of people, do not have that happy ending and are simply out hundreds of dollars, and, you know, two kids crying over gifts that they won't get. So, point being, she easily could have locked the door and then opened it and unlocked it and then closed it again, locked it. It's not that hard. You need to do that. And the other part of this is, there was no reason to keep the purse on the seat either, in clear view. Take those things and hide them. Keep them with you, or put them in a glove box under the seat, whatever it takes. It really doesn't take too much to make something unappealing to break into, especially when it's locked. a thief is not going to randomly physically break into every car they see, hoping that they find something. It's too much of a risk. So you need to hide these things and lock the doors. If you do those two things, I can't guarantee everything, so you never know what's going to happen, but a vast majority of the time, you are not going to have any issues. For me personally, I've never had an issue because I lock it all the time, and I never leave anything valuable in my vehicles. So even if they were to break in, the only thing they're going to get is some sand on the seats and floor, unless they know how to hotwire my car and steal my car, which is going to be tracked because I have the information for it. So lock those doors, hide the stuff. Don't make it so easy for people to steal. It's really fairly simple. It just takes steps, like with anything. And that's what I'm going to lead into next, vehicle security. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of things to do. Some of these may not seem like vehicle security, but they are good ideas to do, such as the very first one here, which is never allow your vehicle to have less than half a tank of gas. This has nothing to do with somebody breaking into your car. This has to do with vehicle security. Make sure your vehicle is secure. Yes, most people, including myself, will watch it go down to a quarter, sometimes even less if we're busy, but it's rare for me. This is something actually my dad taught me when I first got my vehicle. He said never let it go below a quarter tank. For him, it was a quarter tank, but I'm telling you, half a tank. But he had a different reason. He was a mechanic for years, and he worked on vehicles that he knew if it goes too low, it can actually damage your vehicle. So having low gas is not good for your vehicle. Now, for having half a tank of gas, basically that's saying if you're in a bad area, a bad neighborhood, you need to be able to drive out. And if you're low on gas, you might not be able to. So keep that in mind. Don't let the tank get too low. I know it seems like you're just wasting gas sitting there, never using it, but it's not that much money. If you have a vehicle to begin with and you're putting gas in it at all, it's not a big deal. So keep it pretty well full. All right. That is number one. The second one, always keep emergency equipment operational and quickly obtainable. Things like road flares and signs, blankets, food, water, whatever it may be. This too, my dad took care of me a lot when it came to this stuff. He loaded up my very first vehicle with everything I needed, and still to this day, I have stuff that he gave me when I was 16. I am now late 39, and I still have some of this stuff. From the ratchet set he gave me to the blankets he gave me, even some of the food and water. There is packaged water out there. There's packaged food out there that doesn't spoil. It's not a huge feast. It probably tastes horrible, but it will help you survive. Mind you, I grew up in the frozen tundra of Nebraska, where it regularly dropped below zero and had horrible blizzards. And if your car broke down in the middle of one of those, when there is no population in the state, you're driving 2 hours, you see nothing but maybe a cow or two and a dead animal on the side of the road. That's about it. So if your car breaks down in a blizzard driving in Nebraska, you're kind of screwed. You're going to have to wait a day or two, and that food and water is going to come in handy. So is that blanket and the road flares and everything else you need. So make sure you keep that stuff operational and in your trunk or wherever else you need it. So that is number two. If you have to change a flat, attempt to do so in a public center such as a police or fire department, or where the public congregates. This isn't always easy. Every flat I've ever had has actually been on the highway, where those things just aren't really around, and when it hits, you kind of have to pull over pretty quick, otherwise you're going to really do damage to your car. But if you can make it a little ways to a rest stop or something, that's good to go. Or if it's just a very populated road, that's fine too. Again, I did not grow up in that area. If you've got a flat in the middle of nowhere, you're not going to see anybody for quite a while. So one, know how to change a flat. That was one of the first things I learned, because I had a vehicle that popped tires pretty consistently, and had to change quite a few flat tires. And two, have a tire ready. Have one of those donuts ready. And know that you're not supposed to be riding on those all the time. They're just to get you to a place to actually give you a new tire back. Because again, that could destroy your car, which is even more expensive than a new tire. Have that, and that was number three. Number four, make sure your car is always operating correctly. Again, this is a tough one for those of us that aren't rich, struggle financially. It's not easy to have the latest model with all the bells and whistles and to have everything fixed on it. A lot of people have what they call a dummy light that is pretty much always on, whether it's a door that's open because it's broke and it just can't recognize that it's closed, or an engine light popping on, or flat tire, low tire pressure popping on. That's pretty common, especially with some older cars. I have one right now that has the tire pressure light that keeps coming on, but the tires are actually fine. But it costs more to fix that light than it does to fix the tire. It's unfortunate, but it's true. So I just put a piece of tape over that, and then I just make sure that the tires are inflated consistently and it's fine. But it's operational. So keep them up to date. Make sure you're going to the mechanic. Get that oil changed. Get the tires rotated, all that stuff. It's important. Again, this is coming from the son of a mechanic, that he knew what he was talking about, and he passed this knowledge on to me, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. So that was four. Number five, park under a well-lighted location where the public congregates. This too, when I say it out loud, it makes sense. People aren't going to try and break into and steal things from a car that everybody can see and is well-lighted. They're going to break into places at night when nobody's around in a dark alley somewhere. It just makes more sense. So don't park in dark alleys or walk in dark alleys. Again, a fairly obvious thing, but until somebody actually points it out, we don't always think about it. Number six, always have your keys ready. This too is a self-defense thing. It makes quicker access. If for some reason you need to run from somebody, you don't want to get to your car and then suddenly go through your purse or your pocket trying to find your keys and the right key and then finally get in. You want it ready immediately. So have those things out and ready in hand with the key you need. You can do that while you're running or whatever it may be. I've learned this just the second I walk, second I walk out of a grocery store, wherever it may be. I get my keys out. It just makes sense to me. I like to have things ready to go. That's just my mindset. But again, working in martial arts for as long as I have and having a father that was very prepared and a mechanic about these things, those things just were ingrained in me early on and often. On a side note, when it comes to using your keys in self-defense, yes and no. Sometimes it depends on the key. You don't want to use your car key or your home key for self-defense. Understand they're not indestructible. If you have to put them between your knuckles to throw a deadly punch or whatever it may be, claw with them, scratch with them, know that they could be damaged, which means if you finally get away and run to your car and suddenly you can't fit the key in the ignition because you broke it, it was all for nothing. So use, if necessary, use keys that you don't need right now. In particular, you know, the keys to your shed or something like that. You can get those fixed on your own time you need something to run and hide with. So be careful with that. There's a time and a place to use your keys, and be very careful. Don't use something that you need right now. All right, now, let's see, 7. Always keep your doors locked. We just talked about that at length. It could be your vehicle doors. It could be your house doors. Once again, I grew up in Nebraska where people breaking in, at least in my neighborhood, was not a big priority. My dad locked the doors quite a bit. I locked the doors. But that was just a protection thing. It didn't happen. We never had a break-in. Me personally, since moving to Wilmington, I have had somebody trying to break in. Luckily, we warded them off. I'll discuss that at length in a different podcast with home security. But one thing to think about, it's not always the person breaking in to do something wrong. In Nebraska, at my dad's place, pretty regularly for a few years, we had a neighbor that was just a few years old, but she liked to wander. And she liked to wander into other people's houses. More than one occasion, she would open up, go through our garage door, and open up our house door and walk in. And she rarely spent much time. She just yelled out hello numerous times, scared the crap out of everybody, and then closed the door and leave. I don't know what her fascination was with it, but the fact is, when you're startled like that, you make bad decisions. And luckily, my dad was a pretty responsible gun owner. All of our guns were locked up and away. And because if they weren't, who knows what would happen to that kid. If somebody suddenly breaks in late at night and opens that door because it was unlocked and she just happened to walk in and yell out hello, that kid may not be here today. You just don't know. So lock the doors. It's not just your protection. It could be your neighbor's protection. Their little kid may be wandering in, not knowing what's going on. So lock those doors. Next, that was 7. 8, we got 2 more to go here. Never roll the windows down below 2 inches if you're speaking to a stranger. It's also listed that this is a good habit for a police officer if they've stopped you in deserted environments. I've always pulled it down for a police officer, but if you're not sure, maybe you're in a new city, and in a sketchy area, you're just not sure. So it's not, at least the officers I know are not going to get upset if you don't roll it all the way down. They can still hear you. And actually, if I was the police officer, I'd be fine with that, because that means they can't attack me either. If they pulled something, they're going to have to pull that window down or open the door or blast through their window. I don't think it's going to bother a police officer if you only roll it down part way. So they say 2 inches here. That's enough to talk through and pass registration and cards through, but they can't reach in and grab, nor could you reach out and grab. So that's just a good thing to do. Don't roll it all the way down. All right. And the last one here. In case of emergency, it says to never accept a ride, but then it says if you accept a ride on the next one. So try not to accept a ride. If you absolutely can avoid it, don't accept a ride from a stranger. That we all know this, but for some scenarios, you may have to. And if so, be extremely cautious. Make the assumption that they're out to hurt you somehow or take something from you. So be ready for that. Be on guard and develop an escape strategy and have a weapon available. All right. I am a firm believer that you should have something on you at all times to defend yourself and in your home. Again, we're going to talk about this when we talk about home security. It's very important to have weapons and communication devices within range to defend yourself and call for help. And if you're, let's say, being picked up on the side of the road because your car broke down and it's the only car you've seen for hours, you may have to jump in to get to the next town that could be hours away. And keep something with you. It could just be a wrench that you have that you were using to fix a tire or a crowbar or, you know, whatever it is, one of the T-bars, whatever they are. You know, something like that that you could be hold on to. I don't think too many people will necessarily notice or think it's out of the ordinary if you have something like that. You may be questioned by it. That's fine. And you can be blunt about it. Say, I'm getting into a car with a stranger. I just need to make sure that I'm protected. And for me, if I was that person picking them up, I'd say, yeah, absolutely. Keep it. Doesn't bother me. So the issue would be if you have a very obvious weapon, that would make me worry as the driver thinking, will they use this on me? Was this all a ruse to get in and hurt me and take stuff from me? So you have to weigh that option. I much prefer the pocket knife if you're the type that has a concealed weapon, gun in particular. That would be the better way to go, but you never know. Have something available, have your phone definitely available and ready to call immediately if something goes wrong, but be able to protect yourself. I would sit in the back seat versus the front seat, and I would immediately start at least acting like I'm calling people to tell them what's going on throughout the ride so that you're in constant communication. Whatever it takes, protect yourself. You're getting into a car with a stranger. All right. So that is all the ones I have listed for vehicle security, and a couple of stories there. So I hope after you listen to this, you go lock all of your doors, all of your vehicles, take all the valuables out of your vehicles. Maybe if they're in the garage, it's fine. But even that, is your garage door locked? Is the overhead door easily lifted, opened, whatever it may be? So there's a lot to think about when it comes to this stuff. Make it difficult for somebody to take stuff from you and make it difficult for people to hurt you, all right, when it comes to violence and self-defense. So protect yourself at all times. Be aware and have that prevention mindset. That's the whole point of this podcast episode. And I will have numerous other ones that we discuss at length for little things, for, like I mentioned, the home security. I do want to get into things like relationships as far as recognizing if there's an issue, an abusive relationship, with you or someone you know. I do have stories with all of the above. So a lot of this stuff is straight from my self-defense classes that so few have ever taken, unfortunately. It really should be something that everybody takes to understand how to avoid this stuff is life-saving. And I wish more people would take the time to listen to these things and not just be enthralled with the punching and the kicking, but even that, I wish more people would take the time to learn martial arts to protect themselves. The confidence it gives, the skill, the health it gives, the peace of mind it gives. There's so many benefits to martial arts and that prevention mindset. It's not all paranoia. Some of it will sound like it, but some of it becomes so second nature that you don't even think about it. And you're protecting yourself at all times. So that is it for vehicle security and this podcast. I hope you listen to this through and really take notes off of this and apply it. That's the hope. All right. I hope you enjoyed it.